Well, first thing is, if this is your first time, I am Tyler Cope, the youth minister here at Park Avenue, so I am not the normal guy up here. And if you're a regular miss last week thinking, oh, we missed Tyler, we don't have to hear him this week. Sorry, you pulled the short straw. You get him again. But don't worry, not only is Todd and Henry Ann and Puick are here, but Todd will be back up next week. So all's getting better next week, I promise. It's going to be great. But first off, as we just start this morning, I want to be a little vulnerable. Just share, my feelings are a little down today. I'm just, you know, with the loss of my Sooners took yesterday, it's just it was a little harder to get up this morning, and especially with this weather, I just thought I could curl up on the couch, eat my sorrows away. Well, instead, it's better I get to be with you here. And today it's not just up here, but we've got a full day ahead, and we hope that you are going to be involved in the trunk and treat later. If you haven't volunteered to help with a trunk or chairs now out there, then we would just love for you to just be present. Come by, invite your neighbors. It's going to be a great day. We're not going to let the weather disappoint the time we're going to have together. And so we hope you will join with that later. So if you weren't here last week, you missed out, and so we need you to stand up and come up on stage. We got to play a little Simon Says. Just joking. Never mind. Some of you are like, oh no, what does he ask? What's funny is I mentioned last week that we might play a game next week. We're not going to play a game. I got some just kind of looks from the elders, like. But I did have a few students say, oh, are we actually going to do that? They were excited. They thought this could be fun. Like, have some students up here to come play some Simon Says up on stage. But we'll hold off. We'll keep working. Maybe next time we'll play a little game of Simon Says. But the game Simon Says is all about following the leader, listening to Simon, then acting out or not acting out that command, depending on what he says. As it comes to us as Christ followers, we listen to Simon Peter. And we get to listen and read from his scriptures and learn and grow as he encourages us. Last week, we took chapters 1 and 2, just taking in all that Simon Peter has written to the early Christ followers, all about encouraging them to stand strong in their faith through the difficult times. And so I want to read just a passage that we ended with last week, and it's from 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, "But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light." Living out the goodness of God is what we talked about so much last week, of just Peter encouraging the early Christ followers to not give up, to live out their faith, to live out the goodness of God. Here's what I want you to hear. Please realize we're going to cover a lot of material. We have covered a lot over these last 2 weeks, and so we're just hitting a lot of the highlights. There's so much more we're missing out on. I would encourage you to keep reading 1 Peter on your own, letting the scriptures speak to you, and know that as we work through this, we might miss some parts. You're like, oh, I wish we had honed in on that next time. We are working through today. So let's jump in to see what Simon has to say in chapter 3. We're going to be in verse 8, 1 Peter chapter 3. It says, "Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do. and he will grant you his blessing. Just love how Simon Peter continues to emphasize to the early believers to love each other. It was one of the things we talked about last week. Be of one mind also, and as others are going through tough times, we sympathize with them. My wife would say I struggle with that one. I can struggle with this part definitely. But then also to just be there for each other. So I was reading this passage over this week and just trying to figure out where God was leading us on this, that I kept coming back to a couple of ways that we could take this. That I think both are beneficial from just looking at this passage. So I want to sit here for just a moment and look at two different perspectives. And I'm hoping that I haven't taken this out of context. And if I have, come talk to me. But I hope you hear what I'm trying to do here and what I'm trying to see of just how Peter is talking to us. But the first thing that comes to mind is this. Working in the church, we kind of get to see kind of the underbelly of things sometimes. We get to see some things that are not so great that happen with people within the church, where the body of believers tear each other down, similar to kind of even what Simon Peter is talking about here or mentioning. The hurt and breakdown of relationships, speaking negatively to other believers, and more and more. And I'll just share that sometimes I have been wrapped up or can get wrapped up in it as well. It can be just as much as my fault. And I want to first say I'm sorry. This happens at times that within a body of believers. And how I was first reading this, I was like, oh, is he talking to this aspect of it? Of this, where we let our human desires and our selfish desires and instincts take over than what Christ has wanted us to share. Even with people who we aren't against, we start to build this tension with. We forget who the actual enemy is. And it's not other Christ followers. But the enemy wants us to think that they're the problem. He wants to tear us down. He wants to divide us from within. Because he knows he does that, we become so weak. And once he gets a hold of that, man, it can really impact the church. And impact how God works within the church. And we can't let him do that. We can't let him divide us. As we continue to listen to Simon Peter, we do not repay evil with evil or throw insults back because others have. And we have to be able to stand up to those times and say, man, I can't fall into this trap. Because it can be so impactful within a church. But it happens. It happens. And unfortunately, I've seen it being in ministry for 15 years, and I know the other ministers have been in even longer. They have seen it. But how do we avoid that? How do we to stand firm and say, we can't do that? But then the other perspective also is just how we treat others in general. As Christ followers, we're supposed to be tender-hearted and humble, not just within others, within the believers, but also as people we come in contact with who maybe aren't believers, that we don't repay evil with evil when it comes there as well, but instead be a blessing to others. You know, I think God knew I needed to spend some time in this area this week. Little things that aren't big have maybe frustrated me more than I should have let them. There's something about, I was a marketing major in college, and we just learned early on how important customer service is. And for some reason, when I get bad customer service, it just rubs me the wrong way. Alyssa's many times probably haven't like punched me in the side. Don't get upset. It's okay. It's not that big a deal. When we get frustrated, instead of coming back with a smart remark, how can we be a blessing? Right? How can we let that a blessing come to mind? But if we're, as we're trying to live out the goodness of God, that's what's got to start to happen. As it comes within us as just as a body, but also as we are the light of Christ to other people in our community as well. Doesn't matter how minor the offense is. Doesn't matter how major it is. And we could spend so much time here, but how do we start to change our mindset to the point of, oh, we don't want to just fall in the trap, but how can we actually be a blessing? Right. I even heard a worker at Sam's this week, when things weren't going so well for me, I was like, oh, and then I heard them say, man, the customers have been so difficult today. And I had to step back, and as frustrated as I was in the moment, I started thinking, man, could have changed how her day was, because she is thinking, people are just so frustrating. But in the moment, I was just being very selfish and thinking about myself. How can we start to be a blessing? And I think as Simon Peter just keeps talking to us in chapter 3, we're going to go through some difficult times, but we've got to keep in mind, how do we be a blessing to others? So let's continue in chapter 3. We're going to skip down to verse 13. And it says, now, who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good if that is what God wants than to suffer for doing wrong. Simon Peter is focusing on what early Christ followers are struggling with. The first aspect is, you know, just be eager to do good. Right? They are suffering for doing good and living a life for Christ. Right? We must be eager to do what is good. Right? Even if we suffer for doing what is right, which, man, that is difficult words not only to say, but to hear and to live out. I'm going to suffer for doing what is right. Almost seems counter of what we hear a lot. We would much rather be rewarded for doing what is right than to suffer. I think, but I did what is right. Why am I feeling the consequences here when I shouldn't feel that? Maybe the thought even is running through your mind, why should I be going through this if it's just going to bring pain? We do what is right and good because of our relationship with Jesus. He suffered for you and I, and for us to be able to live with him in heaven one day. And that is why we do what is good, even if it brings suffering at the moment or difficult times at that time. As we do what is good and right, we share the hope of Jesus with others. And they see how we respond to that suffering. They see how God is working in our life and saying, oh, man, some things have happened, but he is still serving the Lord. And as we look in chapter 4, just, you know, continue this idea of suffering, and we start to wonder, man, what, maybe not wonder, we start to really realize that the early Christians were truly going through it. They were really having some difficult times there that, man, as we start to process through, maybe some of us can't even relate to, but then others in this room, you can. You can relate to what they're going through. you can relate through the difficult times that they're having. And on that last passage, as Peter mentions, he says, it's better to suffer for doing good if that is what God wants than to suffer for doing wrong. Sometimes we suffer for doing wrong and we're like, well, why am I doing this? I'm a believer. Why am I still suffering? And so let's see what Peter says here. He says, if you, in chapter 4, verse 15, if you suffer, however, it must be not for murder, not for stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. But it's no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by His name. If you suffer because you're not doing good things, that's a whole different story than suffering for Christ. Sometimes we almost get confused at times and we make some mistakes and we're like, well, why am I suffering here? We start to blur things. But I think in a sense what Peter is wanting to remind them is saying, you do not do good and evil things and not realize that there are consequences that you have to face here. And that is what the suffering he is mentioning is, that there's consequences to it. So do not mistake that type of suffering that you're going through as it relates to being a Christ follower. I mean, the consequences, the simple consequences when we do some of those things that was mentioned already, we realize, man, you're going to suffer because if you get caught, you're going to prison, or there are things that relationships are going to be broken down, and you're going to look at those consequences and say, oh, but I did this, and I'm suffering because of that. Not the same as it is with us following Jesus. The suffering that we face there is undeserved as it comes to our actions. But the evil one wants to blur those up. He wants to blur those lines. He wants us to think that there is. He wants us then to say, well, I'm suffering just because I'm a follower of Christ. But we look at him and we're like, but you made this decision. In verse 19, Simon Peter says, if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right. So he's continued to hone in on suffering that pleases God, that is doing what is right. And he says, entrust your lives to God who created you, for he will never fail you. There is no shame in suffering for Christ. Using the word suffering a lot here, and I know some of you are like, I wish you'd move on from that word. All right? Let's keep focusing in, though. The early Christ followers were being persecuted, going through difficult things. Not only had they moved and been spread out all over the land, but as Peter's writing them, he realizes all the things that they were facing. Right? And for us, sometimes it's hard to try to understand exactly what they were going through. But as we're trying to just understand these writings, we can put a little more context in here. Throughout the world, there are still Christ followers who are being persecuted. To this day, there are still Christ followers that probably are living similar lives to the early Christians. There's still persecution. Still things happening, right? And they are suffering for Christ. I think in America, we view things a little different, but there's still persecution happening even here. It looks different. There are still things that we struggle with here and with the suffering that happens, but it's in a little different perspective. But I think as Christ followers, we still go through this as we're suffering. If we are suffering, there is no shame in it for suffering for Christ. And the evil one wants us to say that there is. And he will continue to try to get us to stop doing right and good and living for Christ than to suffer, to go through the difficult times. I've shared many times about a good friend of mine. And so if I've shared it here, just act like it's the first time you've heard it. We used to have a saying in my family with my grandma, Cope, for all growing up, she would always repeat the exact same stories. And so if we ever repeated a story, my sisters and I would just look at each other and say, okay, Grandma Cope. And they're like, oh, I've said this a few times. So you could just call me Grandma Cope later, and I'll take it. It's a compliment to me. I mentioned her last week, so she's going to get brought up. But a good friend of mine when I think about just the suffering is Mama D. Mama D was a super successful woman living in Gulf Shores, Alabama, which if you've been to Gulf Shores, that's where we all go to vacation. And so the people who live there, I mean, they're living a good life. And so Mama D was there living this good life. She's a Christ follower. At the time, always trying to see how God was leading her. And she would tell you, man, there was some good times in her life and some not so good times, but she was continuing to trying to seek what God had in plan, what he had in store for her. 2005 rolls around, and which is crazy to think that's been almost 20 years ago, but Hurricane Katrina hit Louisiana and South Alabama at this time. God was just speaking to Mama D and kept saying, I've got a plan for you. I've got a plan for you. And she started seeing the needs of others just across the bay in Bayou LaBattery, Alabama, and saying, I've got to go help. God is placing it on my heart. I have to go and help. So it started off with Mama D just commuting back and forth from Gulf Shores to Bayou LaBattery, which was an hour-plus drive every day. She just said, I'm just going to keep going, and keep going, because she saw a need. To one day, Mama D selling everything she owned and moving to Bayou LaBattery, Alabama. And some of you are like, oh, okay. You know, it's just across the bay. You know, probably similar to Gulf Shores. It is not. Bayou LaBattery, which if you've heard of it, many of you probably have if you've watched Forrest Gump. It's where Bubba is from. But Mama D was going to this town. And you might say, well, it was hit by Hurricane Katrina, so maybe if they just get back up on their feet, but they have always been poor. They've always kind of been downtrodden. They've always had a lot of just a lot of hurt along the ways in this small community. And so God was placing her knowing, Mama D, this is not just a short-term thing. In her mind, she's thinking, I'm going to go for a few years, and then I'll move, and things will be good. So she gave up her comfortable life to serve the Lord. You might think, okay, well, giving up a comfortable life, Tyler, I understand that type of suffering. I can get there. Well, maybe. It's hard for me to give up too much comfortability. Right? Giving up some of the conveniences that you and I take for granted, and it's hard to give those things up. But Mama D said, you know what? I can do it. Right? So she willingly gave up those things in a simple way of a suffering. But she's making choices to serve the Lord. But then as she starts to get rooted in the community, and they actually started a church, people started to come and get to know the Lord and be helped and be fed, and they were building homes and rebuilding other places along the way. They were making an impact in the community. And people were noticing. A lot of people, it was great. But in this community, because she was an outsider and the others that had come in were outsiders as well, they weren't so happy with it. Even though they were there to help the community, the people in the inn started tearing them down, insulting them, going to the city complaining constantly about the work they were doing, constantly complaining about the church. Oh, their trash is too far out on this side, or their trash is this way, or, man, they parked cars in the yard. I can't believe you would let that happen. There's been so many things that people have tried to tear down and destroy what God is doing there. Mama D, who is approaching into her late 70s, early 80s, has persevered through it. She has suffered. Her name has been run all over town. They've made up lies about her. But she has said the good news of the Lord is worth sharing. And she's willing to suffer through it. You probably have a Mama D in your life that you know of someone, whether it's a missionary or someone in your life that you're like, man, they just keep going. She knows where her reward is at, and it's waiting on her in heaven. She doesn't have the finest things anymore. She lives in a little house that doesn't have air conditioning, doesn't have a heater. Her cars are always broken down here and there, but she continues to devote each and every day to the Lord. She's suffering in a different way than what some, but she is still feeling the pressure of the evil one who is saying, hey, if you move away now, life would be better. If you move away, you know, it's okay. Things will still happen here, but she realizes God's placed her there for that time. So how do we keep pushing forward and saying there is no shame in the suffering? We're going to face the difficult times. We're going to face some suffering when we are living for God. But how do we keep moving forward? Simon Peter shares a few more words on that. In chapter 5, he says, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. And at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Peter wants to encourage the early believers. And as we read this, be encouraged as well. We're moving on from the suffering aspect. We know it's there. We know it's going to happen. But how do we continue to rely on God? How do we continue to hand him over our worries and our cares? That even when it gets tough, he is there. One of the things he says in this passage, just stay humble. Right? Remember who we serve. As we go through all different and difficult times in our lives, we give our worries over to him. Don't let them weigh us down. Instead, let God take them from us. Which again is way easier said than done on both parts here. Because it can be difficult not to become all about ourselves when good things are happening and people are coming to you and saying, man, you just do such a great job. Or, man, just keep it up. There are so many things that as we look at, we're like, it's about me. We start to walk a little straighter. We're feeling a little better. We've made it through the hard times. But how do we stay humble and remind ourselves that God is who deserves the praise? Without him, this would not be possible. Remember, I'm speaking to the choir here, the preacher here. I'm speaking to myself as I say these things because so often we start to say, oh, I'm better. Right? How do we keep a humble attitude and remember who we serve and that our God is there for us? And to also realize with our worries and our cares, he can take them every day. So often we want to take control. We want to carry the load. Not wanting to bother other people, not wanting to bother God, but God can handle it. And there are other people who are coming into your life, in our life, and saying, and we can help you. It's okay to give up control. It is okay to go, hey, I can't do this alone. God, I need you to take these burdens from me. Church, I need your help. As I grow in my faith, this is something for me personally having to do to just keep growing and saying, I'm giving up control here. In 1 Peter chapter 5, as he just keeps walking us down, he says, but continue to stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. Man, Peter knows what to say at the right times. As he has talked about suffering and how the evil one is continuing to come after us, he says, continue to be alert. Continue to watch out for the enemy. And he names him. He says, the devil. He says, watch out because he is at work. Be strong in your faith. And stand firm. We look at this and we say, all right, Simon Peter, we hear you. We are not alone in this. For one, we have Christ. And for two, we have other believers who around the world are going through this as well. We have other believers in this room that can relate to what we are experiencing, what is happening in our lives. And remember, the enemy is wanting us to fail. He wants us to put our guard down, but we can't. And we need each other, and we need the help of each other. We have to stay alert, and we have to stand firm and stand strong in our faith. So often, we can get bogged down on the difficult things happening in our lives, even on the good things happening in our lives, and it takes us away from our relationship with Jesus. So how do we stay alert? How do we stand firm in our faith and be strong in our faith? Got the family of believers around us. Rely on that. As we close this morning, I want just the last words that Peter shares, just a key part of his letter. I want you to hear these words. And we'll close from there. In his kindness, God called you to share his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, he will support, and he will strengthen you. And he will place you on his firm foundation. All power to him forever. Amen. We listen to the words of Simon Peter. Let's go and share the good news or goodness of God as we stand firm on that foundation of the Lord. And we'll suffer. But because of the goodness of God, we get to share with other people what he has done for us. Let's pray together before we stand and sing. God, we thank you. We thank you for your son. We're thankful for the letter of Peter just to encourage us and to, Lord, just for us to know that, man, we're going to suffer and we're going to go through difficult times, Lord. We pray for your strength. We pray for your strength to be able to get through those difficult times, Lord, but we also pray that as we get through them, as we go through, Lord, that we don't let Satan win those little battles. Lord, because you have won the war. And so we pray for the strength to continue to overcome, to place you first. And Lord, for your goodness to shine through. And that goodness to look in so many ways, Lord, as other people can see how you work in our lives. Lord, let us be a light for others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand.